We are happy to have his presence here with us today. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead without any further delay. We do have a word from the Lord. Amen. Just a few verses from the Psalms for the Old Covenant text. We want to look in Psalms number 136 if you don't have a copy of our lesson today. Psalms 136, the first three verses. And then from the New Covenant, the Epistle to the Philippians, Philippians chapter number 4. That'll be the last chapter in the book of Philippians. Amen. Some words from the Apostle Paul. We thank God for these words. And we're looking here to get a good thought in for the Thanksgiving season that's right up on us. Amen. So we're going to talk here just from a little bit here as we read these verses. Read these with me, if you don't mind. Psalms 136 and 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. That's the old covenant word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Now we're going to look in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, letter from the Apostle Paul, written from a prison. We might want to add, I just want to put that in before we do the reading in verse 4. Philippians 4 and 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. These are the words of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we want to grab for a thought for this week coming up on Thanksgiving, walking in with the mindset of Thanksgiving. Walking with the mindset of Thanksgiving. Amen. This is very important. It's a very critical thing that you and I learn. And it's just amazing to me that the big difference between believers and unbelievers tends to be believers tend to be more thankful about what's going on. I mean, there's a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulty, all kinds of stuff going on all the time. But when you trust in God, you have a tendency to realize that God is still in charge no matter what kind of trouble is going on, no matter what's going on around me. Everything is not good all the time, but there are difficulties in life. And God gives you a way when you have a relationship with him of understanding that you can still be thankful no matter what you're going through. You know, trouble, even some of the contemporary songwriters tell us about that. This might be too back for since this is you, Sonny. Maybe y'all don't remember this one here. But Marvin Gaye says there's only a few things that are sure in life. And there's taxes, death, and trouble. And that's in his song, Trouble Man. Y'all might not go back that far. He said these things are sure. They're the only things for sure. Taxes, death, and trouble. And that's kind of the way it is. We see so many things in life. But just because there's trouble and difficult things doesn't mean that those who are saved cannot be thankful. In fact, even if you're not saved, you ought to be thankful. Because God has made it possible for you to go on, as we used to say sometimes, let your precious moments roll on a little while longer. Amen. Because he didn't have to do it, but he did. And so there's always something to be thankful about. If you're able to give thanks, you ought to give thanks. Because there's always something to be thankful for. You know what? You don't have to look far to see somebody who may not have been as well blessed as you. Don't have to look far. You can always see somebody that it may not have been as well blessed as you.
So true.
So you need to be thankful wherever you are and whatever your circumstances are. If you can even see, you ought to be thankful. Just the fact you can open your eyes and see, because somebody can't do that. So there's always plenty for you to be thankful for. But one of the big things, and this is what I want you to do here, because trouble is inevitable. We can't get away from it. Seems to be on every side when you look around. But how do you cope with it and continue to maintain a mindset of thanksgiving all the time? And as you know, just before we read that New Testament passage, I reminded you that the Apostle Paul writes this from a prison. How can you write the epistle in the Bible that's known as the Epistle of Joy, and you're writing it from a prison cell? I would tend to think that would make you consider, you know, maybe writing something else. Hey, help me get out of here or something. You know what I mean? But the fact is, his mindset is not on his circumstances. He's not looking at what I'm going through. He's looking beyond that. He's looking at who do I belong to.
That's right. Amen.
Who is looking out for me? Even though I'm in this situation, there's somebody who sits high, that looks low, that looks past my faults and sees my needs.
Yeah.
It's him. That's the one I'm looking to. So it doesn't make any difference what I'm going through at the moment. You know what? You may have some ups and downs. That's what it says, right? We have some ups and downs. Sometimes I'm up. Sometimes I'm down. Sometimes I'm level to the ground. Somebody said, you know, but I'm still going to trust in the Lord and thank him for things as well as they are. Amen. It's always a good thing to think on the Lord. So the mindset that you have is what really governs where you are with your thankfulness.
So true.
Is how do you think about where you are? What is it that's in your mind at the time as you're going through life? You're definitely going to have some issues. The Bible says that you shall have tribulation, Jesus said, right? He says, these things wrote I unto you that because in the world you shall have tribulation. That means trouble. But be of good cheer, he said, for I have overcome the world. So if we're his disciples, we can still be of good cheer even though we're going through trouble, difficulty, circumstances may come up in our life. In fact, that's a promise when the Lord says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But in order to walk, that means you're every day walking the way you go every day, in and out of your life, with a mindset on Thanksgiving is you have to first of all remember whose you are, that you belong to God. God, as it says here, the psalmist writes, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. See that? That capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that means the Most High God. That is a symbol they put in the Old Covenant to speak of a tetragrammaton, which is a four consonants that cannot be spoken. And it's a symbol that represents the name of the Most High God. So the King James translators put it down as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So it's still just four, but it represents it as translated Lord, because they use the word Adonai alongside of that. That's a word that you could read. The name of God was not even to be spoken by human lips.
That's true.
And so they separated or sanctified God's name by putting the characters that represent his name, which was unspeakable, then they would write next to it Adonai. And that means that's the word Lord in the Greek, Adonai, and in the Hebrew. And they would read that word because they said the name of God was not even to be spoken. But I'm not even worthy to have his name on my lips. So when you see the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in the KJV, that's an indication of the Hebrew tetragrammaton, YHWH, we would say in English. And that means the Most High God, the creator of all things, the one who is good, as it says here by the psalmist. So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever. Now, mercy is a factor that God has that he exudes toward us, which means he doesn't give us what we deserve. We may deserve punishment, but God says, I'm going to hold that back. We may deserve less than what we have, but God says, no, I'm going to give them more. So it's mercy when God does not give us what we deserve. And notice what kind of mercy this is. This is mercy that endureth forever. So God says, I'm going to give you mercy that goes on even until I see you. Till you check out of this world, you're going to still have a measure of my mercy in your life. So we should be thankful because God is a merciful God. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. There's some other things that set themselves up in the world that would like to be in the position of God. You know, that was the problem with Satan, right? I always like to say he had eye trouble. If you look over there in the book of Ezekiel and he starts to talk about what I'm going to do. He's got eye trouble. I'm going to ascend into the stars of heaven. Isaiah and Ezekiel both talk about the character of the devil. He was trying to displace God on his throne. So it's five times he says, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, raising myself up and exalting myself. See, that's because he had eye trouble. That could be a problem with us. Sometimes we think, I am the center of the universe. Yep. And it really isn't all about me. It's about God. God has an agenda. He loves you. He's the one showing you mercy, which endures forever. And other people and other things become a God in your life. In other words, they take the place where only God should be in your life. People idolize different things. Sometimes it's another person. Sometimes it's a financial thing or a physical thing. It can be a number of things people idolize and put in the place of God. But it says here, this psalmist recognizes that give thanks unto the God of gods. In other words, there might be something that's in your life that's in a place where it shouldn't be, that you're closer to or more drawn to or to protect more than you do or think about the real God. But he is the God of gods. And a lot of people continue to make other gods in life. They make other things that they want to try to worship or give their attention to. But the true God is merciful. He will even allow that. That's one reason you know he's merciful, because people keep on making up gods and he doesn't strike them with lightning. You know, even though he is a jealous God. You know, I keep thinking, boy, it's a good thing I'm not God. Probably be holes everywhere all around the world. Oh, you another God. Huh? Boom, lightning. But God is a God of great mercy.
Oh, yes.
And so he gives people time to reconsider even bad decisions that they have made. And so basically, he says, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. You see that? And there's coming a day, the Bible tells us, when God will seat his own king, who is his son, Jesus Christ, on the throne. And he will be, to him every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what I want to talk about here just for a few minutes, we don't have a lot of time here today, but the big problem with people who do not believe and trust God has to do with a lack of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a characteristic of people who know God, people who trust God, people who believe in God. You know that you can't take your next breath without God. See, and people who don't believe in God, this is what the word says about them. I'm just going to read a verse or two here from the book of Romans before we take a look at the text that I said before you. Paul says this, speaking in Romans chapter number 1, starting at verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Notice why here, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. In other words, God gives every human being a natural knowledge that he is God.
Yes.
And it's in you. People can tell you, well, you know, I don't believe. Inside in your conscience, you have the knowledge that there is a God. Because God's creation is testifying every day that he is there. His presence is a reality. People will reject it. God will allow you to reject it. But it's not the best thing for you to reject the knowledge of God. But God says that which may be known, Romans 1:19, of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. So don't ever let somebody tell you, well, I ain't ever seen God, so I don't believe him. Well, God says, I manifested it to everybody.
Yes,
you know what? He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. In other words, all you do is look around at your environment, and you know there is a God. Now he goes on to put it this way in verse 20, that Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. See that? In other words, when you look at what I made, it's so cold, you have to know I'm here. That's what God is saying. Look at what I made. How delightful this thing is where you live here. Look around. Notice how a seed will go in the dirt, bust open, turn into a plant, and produce fruit. Now show me how you can you do that? You know anybody that's so bomb that they can do that and make that system work? Do you know anybody who can understand that? Do you know any scientist that understands the technology that went into that seed to make it do that? Nobody knows. That's technology that's off the charts. You look at what he made, you go, man, this is awesome. And then it's going to make a whole tree full of more fruit that has more seeds in it. Wow, that's bomb. That's completely the bomb.
Yeah.
You have to give God some credit.
Amen.
When you look at what he made, just a simple thing that he made. How can you make a little bird like this that flies around, flaps his wings at hundreds of miles an hour, and then you got big old birds like vultures flying around, swooping in down on all kinds of big stuff. You got stuff from so tiny to so large, and it's similar, but it's not all the same. God has got some amazing stuff in the world. You don't have to look far. You can look at anything, and you can see his glory. That's what that verse number 20 is about. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. How do we know he has eternal power? How many times have you ever went to the grocery store and couldn't find tomatoes? Or oranges, or apples. Very seldom. Very seldom. Why? Because God has perpetual stuff in the world that keeps reproducing itself after its own kind. You can always find something to eat somewhere. Very seldom in our country particularly. Do you go through any famine or anything like that? It happens on the world different places, but it's not usually because some person did something. You see what I'm saying? So God has made perpetual things that you can see his glory in everything he made. So for all these things, you and I should give thanks.
Hallelujah.
Now he says that God did this so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse not to believe in God. Because that when they knew God, here's the verse I wanted to tune in on, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. See, a lack of thankfulness is a terrible thing. It's a characteristic of people who, even though they know God, they're not thankful for what God has done.
Wow.
But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's what happens when you're not thankful to God. You can become vain in your imaginations. Start making up stuff like evolution, trying to give some glory to something that doesn't exist, something you can't prove. Something that there's not one ounce of evidence anywhere to be found.
None.
Most people are not bold enough to come out and be point blank to tell you, but I don't play around with that. I give the glory to God, and I'm thankful to God for making what he made. And the scientists, I always say, if you can prove it, prove it. Shut me up. That's what you got to do. But I need proof. And what God's got proof everywhere. Look around.
That's all you
got
to do.
Open the door. Open your eyes.
Yeah.
And look around. How can you have an eyeball and a mosquito have an eyeball that we can both see? Come on now. Tell me how you evolved such a thing as that. That a fly can have an eyeball and a buffalo can have an eyeball. Come on now. And we can all see so many things with eyeballs. It all works similar, but they're all way different. The science behind them. So there must be a God. You have what should conclude that there is a God, and therefore I'm thankful. But you know what, people? Reject God. They become vain in their imagination because they are not thankful, Romans 1:21 says. And their foolish heart is darkened. And how do you have a foolish heart? Psalms 14 says, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. See what I'm saying? So that's what he's talking about. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like unto a corruptible man. Or into birds or four-footed beasts or creeping things. They want to worship some of the stuff God made, but not the God that made it all. So thanklessness is one of the characteristics of folks who do not believe God. You and I have to develop a mindset of walking in thanksgiving. If you do that, it'll help you make it through the trouble you're dealing with. It'll take you through anything you have to deal with in life. There's a lot of unpleasant stuff. We're going to run into some of it today before the day is over. Sad to have to say, but it's true. But how do you walk through and keep your mind set on the things of God? What is the secret to that? If we could know that, boy, I tell you what, we'd be a lot more cheerful than we are about a lot of things. We wouldn't be so disappointed about so many things. This season of Thanksgiving would be a joyful time for us even more than it has been. But we got to take control of how we think. So how do we do that? And this is, we're going to get some help from the Apostle Paul right here. Because God is definitely on the throne. There's no doubt about it. Writing from the prison, he tells the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Look at that. That means there is no time I'm not thinking about how good God is. Doesn't make any difference what I'm going through. God is still good. He's still on the throne. He's still awesome. He's still powerful. He still loves me. No matter what I'm going through. No matter what anybody said. I can be in the courtroom, the judge sitting up on the bench. God is on the throne above you. And I don't have to worry about it. See, I can be in any kind of a circumstance, but God is seated up on the throne. And I don't ever have to worry about it. See, so no matter what you have to say, you know what? There's somebody sitting up over you that's looking over me too. So this is the kind of way you have to start to think. Realize, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. The man in the prison, keep that in mind, writing this. And then he's saying, again, I say rejoice. That's like saying amen to what I just said. You see what I'm saying? Let your moderation be known unto all men. How many people are you going to run into in life? All men, they all fit in that category. No matter who they are, let your moderation. That word moderation was difficult to translate from the Greek. It probably needs a few sentences to explain what it means. It means that no matter how the situation is, I'm going to show people something about what God is in my life. They're going to see that I'm connected with God, and what you're trying to shake me with is not shakable because God is my anchor.
Yeah.
You know, it says, let your moderation, some translations say, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. In other words, forbearance is when I ought to give you a slap upside the head, but I'm going to hold it back. I'm not going to be upset with you. I should feel this way or that way because you're wrong. It's two left shoes, but I don't have to. I can hold it back. I don't have to give you what you deserve. You know why? Because God's going to give you what you deserve if you ain't right. I don't have to sit back and try to defend every little thing. I can hold back because if it's not right, my judge sits on the throne and he knows that you're doing me wrong. See what I mean? So I can show you some moderation. Or maybe you just don't know and you're saying something out of a lack of knowledge. But whatever the reason is, if you're coming against me, I don't have to try to backlash tit for tat. Everything that you did, I'm going to do back to you. Now that's a normal human tendency. You say something to me, I'm going to say something back to you. I used to be bad with that when I was lost. You know, I told y'all this before. I would get into some speaking matches, and I would hit you with something. Boy, I say, I try to cut you so low you can sit on a cigarette paper and swing your legs. And that's the way I used to be back in the day. You know what I'm saying? I prided myself on that. Oh, you saying something to me? Oh, no, you got to go down right now. I couldn't hold back. It was just the way I was. You know? But so now, you know, the Lord says, you don't have to do that. Back off of that spirit of retaliation, and I'm going to give you back worse than what you gave me. That's the way we think, see? But he says, you don't have to do that. You know why? Because if you stand still, God will fight your battles.
Yes, he will.
See what I'm saying? You don't have to jump up and try to defend every little thing. You know, because God knows who you are. You know what? He knows who you are, and he knows you trust him. I trust you. I don't have to worry about this. Yeah, it was wrong. Yeah, they didn't do me right. They spoke wrong against me, and I know it. But I don't have to get mad. I can hold that anger back. That's what that word that's translated moderation means. I don't have to react to everything that I don't agree with. Or that seems to be against me. See, why? Because I have God who will look over me. I got God and all this history behind me that he brought me through all of this to be right here to say that he'll take care of me in the next situation I have to go through. So he's there. That's why Paul said, you know what, I can sit here in the jail and write the epistle of joy to the church. Because it doesn't make any difference you lock me up. You know why? Because I'm on a mission for God. I was separated from my mother's womb to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing you can do, whether you're the president, the judge, the pope, whoever you are, you can't do anything to stop what God is doing in my life. There's nothing you can do. You can't form any weapon. That's what I'm saying. You don't have anything that can stop God's purpose for my life. So I don't have to react to everything.
Yeah.
And come undone. Mama. And get upset. You know, I can show you some calm and some peace.
Yeah.
You know, that Paul was in a shipwreck. They were saying, oh, we don't know what to do. Paul said, except everybody abide in the ship, no life will be saved. So y'all all got to stay in. Don't jump out. If you jump out, nobody's going to be saved. You know what? And they stayed in the boat, even though it went through a terrible storm. It was like a hurricane, a typhoon out on the sea. And you know what? God brought the whole ship in, slammed it. The ship was breaking up. They threw out all the cargo, threw it all aside because to lighten up the ship so it wouldn't go sinking down in the water. God slammed the whole boat into pieces, and they all went in on the coast, and not one soul was lost. Not a one in the book of Acts. He said, just abide in the ship. Yes, it's a storm. Yes, you want to grab a life jacket and see can you make it and get out of here. You know, you want to do something, but God said, no, stay in the ship. Just abide in the ship. And they did, and they rolled in, came up on the coast on broken pieces of the ship, and everybody was saved. It's amazing. The stuff you need to go through, God knows what you're going through. You know what? If you listen, it's a good idea to pray. That's one thing. You're going to see that as Paul gives us the secret. But let your moderation be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He ain't somewhere way away, and I'm over here going through this by myself. He's at hand. He's right there on the spot. Be anxious for nothing, some translations say. The word careful is amarimnos, to keep going over it in your mind and worrying about it. Be anxious for nothing, or be careful, the old KJV says, but in everything. How many things is that? That's everything, isn't it? By prayer. And supplication. Prayer is when I'm going to contact God about what I'm going through. I don't have time to argue with you. I'm going to talk to God.
Yeah.
I don't have time to be disappointed.
That's it.
I'm going to speak to God about it. Yeah, you in the jail. I don't even forgot about you now. The devil's going to be saying. The flesh is going to say, hey, they don't care about you. That's why you're in there. But no, I'm going to talk to God. God has me on a mission I'm going through. And nobody can change it.
Nobody.
I can be thankful because I'm going through. Nobody can change it. Somebody said, I can be glad because my hope is in the Lord. One songwriter said. So he said, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. You see that? By prayer and supplication. What is supplication? That's a type of prayer where I ask God to supply what I need to help me through this situation. Supply what I need, or I might ask him to supply what you need so you can quit being discontent. Give them what they need. Supply it, oh God. See, give me what I need so I can make it through. So it's prayer and supplication. Notice this, with thanksgiving. There it is again. Thank God for what he's going to do. And if he doesn't do anything, I thank you anyway just because you're there and I can call on you. It's good to know that you were there. Somebody wrote a song. See, about that. It's good to know no matter what I'm going through, you're there. You promised to never leave me nor forsake me. You said you'll be with me always, even to the end of the world. See, so we got to go over that. Think on that. Don't think on, oh, they get ready to tow my car or whatever the thing is that's bothering you at the moment. Don't let that take over your mindset. I can get another car. God will fix my situation.
Oh, yes, he will.
See, I'm going to pray and thank him. Thank you that I'm able to go on in your name. Thank God. Learn to practice that. That's what you got to do. And if you can do it, you know what? You're going to have to pray on it. You know what? If you're clinging onto a lot of material stuff, sometimes if something happens to the material stuff, you have a problem. So don't do that. Somebody said, hang on to everything lightly, but hold on to Christ with all your might. You got to let something go. Let it be something material. God can give it back to you and give you more. You see, so don't let that be what governs your mindset, the way you walk. It has nothing to do with that. It wouldn't make any difference. I think about the poor folk out there in California. They were sitting there minding their business, thinking, you know, here comes the fire. Wipes out everything you have. That's awful. You know? But you know what? Trust God. Call on the Lord. You know, God can give you back 10 times what you had. Sometimes it has to do with your thankfulness and your gratefulness to God for what he already gave you. God might test you. There you go. Ask Job. I was just going to say, we can bring some folk up to the witness stand on this. Job said, you know what? I had all of this. And you struck it all, but you gave me back more than I had before it was all done. But going through, he had to learn how to be faithful in the middle of it all. And don't impugn God. This is what will happen. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That means instead of me having a pity party, I'm telling God about my situation. I know he's listening. He hears everything I say. He has never failed me. Look at your track record. When has God failed you?
Never.
He ain't never failed me. Never. Some people time we feel like, oh, this happened or that happened. But God has not failed you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, and some things, the decisions are hard. We would never make it. I'm glad I didn't have to make certain decisions about stuff that happened that was in God's will. What would happen if you had to decide everything? That would be hard for me. It would be some stuff just wouldn't get done. Because I don't want it to be that way. But God knows best. See, and he's going to get done what has to be done. I'm glad he makes the hard decisions, and I don't have to worry about it. All I have to do is give him praise, give him glory. See, and let you take me through. Lord, it's a hard decision. I'm glad you made the decision, and I didn't have to get stuck right there. Don't let that kind of stuff stick you. Sometimes we get stuck on an event or a situation. But just thank God and pray and ask him to give you the strength to make it through and give him thanks for whatever he does. And you know what's going to happen when you start this intimate relationship with God? It's not that you haven't started it. What happens when we improve it and make it better? You know what's going to happen in this next verse? He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, that's what you need. You need the peace of God, which can carry you through anything you are going through, no matter what it is. We get that by communication with God. I know you're there. I know you care about me. Yeah, I know this was wrong. It happened to me, or this hurt me, or I didn't get what I think I need, or what I should have gotten, or somebody cheated me, or whatever it was. But you're there. You have never cheated me.
No.
You have never left me.
No.
I have never suffered anything that you haven't brought me through. Everything I've been through, you brought me through. No matter what it was. No matter how difficult it was, I'm still here. So that means you have something else yet for me to do. So I can trust you in that. That's where you got to get, church. That way you can be in the prison. Folk can be talking about you, and they have you on the docket because you are some kind of criminal, and you know you're not. Because God has put Paul there. He was there in the jail being persecuted because he preached the gospel. And they said, that's illegal over here. But he was able to make it through because he trusted the Lord. He called upon him. He thanked God for everything he went through. And he let his requests, whatever he thought he needed, be made known to God. In other words, this is a problem to me, God. I'm taking it off of me. I pass it over to you. There's a transfer. That's what Peter meant when he said, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. I'm going to take it off me, Lord. This is bothering me. I'm upset here, God. But I'm going to take it off and give it to you. When I give it to you, you got it. I don't even have to worry about it. The situation may not have changed on my end. But I'm giving you concern over it, Lord. I take it off my worry list, and I put it on my supplication list, and I'm going to thank you for it. I put it in your hands. See, when we put it in his hands, I don't need to worry about it anymore. I'm good now. I'm back to where I was. My mindset is back on peace. Because God is going to handle it. He's never failed me yet. So I don't have any reason to doubt that he ever will. See that? So that's what he said. That it passes understanding. How does that work? I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't tell you. I wish I could tell you whether it works like this and give you three reasons why it works. No, I don't know. Just forgive it to God. He'll give you what you need. And then Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. You know what? Because, and the reason I think he says this is because it's easy when you have a situation for you to go into a negative mode. Oh, I should have did this. But I didn't listen to my mother. Man, my father told me I should have done that. Man, you start, and the devil say, yeah, you know he did. You didn't do it. And he get right on you and start loading you up with guilt. Man, you ought to be ashamed he went there. See, and now you're into a pity party. You got regret circulating in your mind. You got all kinds of stuff. Oh, I wish I'd have made a left and I made a right. You know, and you're going through all these things, and the devil in the world is beating you up for it. But don't do that. Don't go there. Replace it with whatever is good. Whatever is right. Whatever pure. Whatever is of a good report. He says, whatsoever things are of any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Change what you think about. You can change a channel at any minute. You know, you do it all the time. Something come on, you don't want to hear it. Flip that off. I'm going to turn on something else. Just do it in your own mind. Oh, right, here it goes, country western. I don't like it. But whatever it is, I'm saying, you cut it off in a heartbeat. You won't listen to 5 seconds of something you don't want to hear. Get that going in your head. Who got the radio channel knob in your head? You do. You can cut it off, turn it on something else. Get over here on Praise 99 or whatever it is. See what I'm saying? Switch the channel. That's up to you. If you let the stuff play on, imagine what would happen if you left the blues on and you don't like to hear the blues. Some people do. Oh, gotta go sit and have a drink. Or whatever it is. You know, you will cut it off in about 5 seconds. If you come on your radio in the car, well, you already got that deprogrammed. Cancel that channel. I don't want to hear that. Yeah. Cancel all those channels that are not what you want to hear. Delete. Get that out of my mind. See, and decide you're going to tune in to these things, the virtuous things. Those things. Now, notice what Paul says. He said, I'm not just telling you. These are those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Because I practice it too. How you know? Because I'm in the jail writing you a letter about joy. I'm in the jail telling you you can do this. I'm in the jail telling you I'll be returned to you soon. I don't care what they say. Because God got my back and I'm coming out of here. Because he told me I'm going to Rome and these people can't stop it. I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to Rome because the Holy Spirit told me I'm going to Rome. So you can do whatever you want in between. I'm not worried about I came out of a shipwreck. God brought me through that. I came through all kinds of trials and tribulations to get here. So there is an unlimited set of reasons for everyone to be grateful to God at all times. Even though not everything we experience is considered good per se, but just for the fact that we know that whatever God has allowed to come to pass will ultimately work out for good to the ones who are the called according to his purpose. That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
He says, for God, we know that God works all things together for good. He didn't say the good stuff. He works all things together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. If he has a purpose in your life, and I promise you he does, you don't know it, he does, let you know today he has a purpose in your life. That you are called according to his purpose. Nobody comes to the Lord unless he calls you. You know, if you came, it's because God called you out of your misery, out of your darkness, out of your false religion, out of whatever it was you were dealing with. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. The Spirit came on you and made you have faith to trust in Christ. And believe it, I raised him out the grave. You know why I did that? Because I don't even want you to worry about death. Don't even want you to worry about death. Death is about the worst thing we have to deal with. But I raised my son out of the grave. So you don't even need to worry about death. We worry about death. Oh, boy, that's a hard one there. But he raised Jesus out of the grave, so you don't have to worry about it. So realize that you are the called according to God's purpose. Everything from the evidence of God's creation of all things to the smallest details of his expressions of tremendous love, he is constantly showing to us. All around us, every second of every day. which should remind us to walk with a mindset of thanksgiving as a general way of everyday life. See, look at what he's showing you. I can't even tell you what all I've been through this year. Some of it was bad. Some of it was good. Some of it was disappointing. There's been all kinds of stuff, ebbs and flows, rises and falls. All in all, I'm good. I'm good. Really. I'm here. Everything is pretty good.
Yes.
Considering what could have happened and some of those other things that I was worried about had taken over me. But that didn't happen. So I'm here. I'm good. That's the way you can feel. God got my back. I don't have to worry about it. So Paul reveals the system from the Holy Spirit that all Christians must pray and meditate on in order to attain and maintain the mindset of thankfulness, no matter what circumstances we're going through. And it is a lifelong quest for us to each improve on as we continue to give glory to God for his many blessings. You can only do this better if you practice it. So you got to practice it. I think that's why God picked somebody like Paul. He hated Christ. He hated the church. He said, well, that whole thing is awful. It's against Judaism. Gotta go. I don't just hate it. I gotta rub it out. I'm gonna go get papers from the government. I'm gonna get papers from the religious leaders. And I'm going down there to bust it up. If I have to kill them, they gotta die. Wow, he thought that was right. He ran into God on the Damascus Road.
Oh, yes, he did.
It was so bright, brighter than the noonday sun, went down on his face to the ground, off his beast. We don't know what beast that was. People always say a horse. He fell off his beast. You know, and it could have been a lot with that beast. The devil could have been there. Who knows? But you're going down to destroy the church? And it was at that moment that he said, oh, who art thou, Lord? I know this is God. Can't see nothing now. Now I'm blind. He says, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, well, what would you have me to do, Lord? Go on down there where you was heading. You was on your way. You didn't know you was going for my purposes. You thought you were going for your purposes. You're going down there to destroy, but go on down there and they'll tell you what you ought to do. Now, what does that mean? That means the church has authority to tell people about God and what God is doing. That's awesome. God could have said, I'll tell you right now. No. You go down there, the church is going to tell you what to do. That one you was going to destroy, guess what you were authorized to do, church? Tell people the truth. You're a spokesperson for God. God has you on a mission wherever you are. In life, he's put you at a specific spot at a specific time to be a witness for him. Ananias said, well, you ain't sending that murderous dude down here, are you, Lord? That's my paraphrase. I don't know about him, Lord. I heard he's busting up folks and cutting them up and killing them up there. God said, well, he's praying now. See, so don't worry about him. They guided him on down there. He came in. He was blind. Couldn't see. He was letting you know you thought you were seeing before, but now you cannot see physically. But in his mind, he could start to see who God is and what God was doing. And then he told him to go down there and be baptized. Ananias baptized him, and they said it was as great scale fell from his eyes. He could really see now who God really is.
Wow.
And he started on a mission, turned him around 180 degrees,
right.
Ended up in the jail in Philippi, writing a letter of joy to the church. Awesome, isn't it? See, so wherever you are, God loves you just like you are. He wants you to know I love you just like you are. I'm calling you into my service. And if you will just follow him, walk with him today, your life will change and you'll be a new person. You don't have to worry about anything. He said, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So God gives you a new way. So we have to practice the mindset of walking in thankfulness. Because if we don't, it's easy to be ungrateful. Very easy. You know what? Every time I do it, if I rebuke myself later, but I keep wishing, boy, you know, you could have just went another little while and don't go there. Keep that out of your mind. Keep it out of your life. See? And meditate in the things of God. Remember, he told Joshua the same thing. Meditate in the law of the Lord. He says, keep this word of the book of the law in your mouth. Meditate therein day and night, and you shall have good success. So God says you have good success. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, Nor sinneth in the seed of the scornful, but delight yourself in the Lord day and night, and you'll be like a tree. So if you're here today and you're not saved, we want to invite you to salvation. God wants you to be saved. He loves you just like you are. And he wants to give you salvation. It's a free gift. All you have to do is say, Lord, I need it. I want it. Please give it to me. I believe that you raised your son out of the grave, so I don't even have to worry about death. I trust in Jesus. I believe in him. You say, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so, Father, we ask you to bless somebody in the room with salvation today. Encourage and strengthen everybody else in the room who already believes. So that we can have a real season of thanksgiving and have our mindset focused on it, Lord God. We ask this to the praise and the glory of the Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Church, say it together.
Amen.
Amen. If you're looking for a church home, St. Timothy is a good place for you. We want to invite you to come. Amen. And we hope you did get a good word from the lesson today. Amen. We are just getting started. Amen. Just getting started. We're looking for great things from henceforth. Amen. We offer Christ to you and we offer church members.